Hi everyone, this is JP and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. Today we have an interview with Chaney Moore, and he is an EOS enthusiast who has done a lot of research on airdrops and EOS itself. You can find him on Reddit, where he is probably most active. His username is River King Fisher, and he's got a lot of insights over there. He's also writing on Medium and just pumping out some great information all about EOS and specifically on airdrops. So we're going to get into one of his most recent articles and talk all about that. So without further ado, Chaney, welcome to the Exploring EOS podcast.
Thanks, John Paul. I appreciate you inviting me here today.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time. Can you just give us a quick background for yourself in terms of how did you come to crypto and EOS in particular?
Sure. I am a real estate and property tax manager and a real estate investor. And part of why I got into real estate really goes back to my father, but the passive income aspect of real estate really is why I find it attractive. And it's not just real estate, but other forms of investment that that provides some sort of income, even dividend stocks, anything that I can keep my original principal and derive an income from it. That's what I'm looking for. So some friends tried to convince me to get into crypto for a while, and I never did until one of them mentioned a token that had aspects of passive income. And from there, I started doing some research. I did get into EOS pretty quickly. But I also got into some other ones, costs. We got into NEO for the gas aspects of it. Looked into a few other that paid either inflationary or other income metrics, if you will. And over the course of time, I continued to do additional research into each of these. And liked EOS the most, really. What happened was I was really looking at it from a bandwidth standpoint. And then when Block One did their $1 billion DAT fund, and on top of that, we came back out and Block One announced that, or actually it was the Everpedia airdrop, announced that, you know, well, hey, we're going to get all these IQ tokens from this airdrop. Due to this VC-funded project, I was like, wow, this is great. This is another form of passive income. So I really got into EOS. From there, I was looking for ways that I could add value back to the community. I got into the Telegram. I got into Reddit, like I said earlier. Did some research, followed everything I could, really dug down into the deep of. And originally, my ratio was probably 20% EOS, and over time, it's probably now 80% of my investment. So I continue to look for ways to get involved. I reached out to several block producer candidates to see if I could help out, and eventually made it to EOSIS. Joined part of the EOS evangelist group through EOS. They're looking for some extra, you know, talent. If you know somebody that really likes to write articles or has some good information to share, they're always looking for people to provide good articles and good information.
That's EOS evangelist group, is that right?
Yeah, they go by the EEG. If you go out to the My Medium post, they're linked there at the bottom, and you can find out more about them there.
Very nice. Yeah, anybody listening, if you like to write about EOS, go check that out.
That's right. And so from there, like I said, I was looking for ways to get involved, wrote a few articles, and the latest one really kind of took off. It was about ways to assess airdrops. You know, we're going to be getting a lot of airdrops here in the future. Matter of fact, we already are. People are getting really excited on Reddit every day. Matter of fact, the Karma token, I think you may have had Dallas on here recently, but the Karma token started airdropping today. And so there's a lot of chatter on Reddit about that and Telegram, and people are getting excited about that. So it's happening every day. I think we're up to 22 Genesis airdrop snapshot airdrops that are going to be coming out. So people are excited, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that people understand what to do with these and how to evaluate them. So they don't get what I term as airdrop fatigue. They don't get overrun. What do I do? What do I? I've got all these tokens now. Do I go out and sell them? Do I hold them forever? What are these even in some cases?
Well, I really enjoyed your article over on Medium about how to evaluate the airdrops. And in that article, you link to a really great resource that I think everybody should know about, which is a list of all these airdrops that you put together. And this is it's really helpful. I have it open right now looking at it, and it gives you the project, tells you how much, like how many tokens you'll get, what the total supply is, if you need to register or if you don't need to register, and what the date is for the airdrop, all those kind of things. And it even has the website. So you can go and do more research for yourself and really see if this is something you want to get into. So first of all, just thank you for putting that together. I was starting to get airdrop fatigue.
John Paul.
Yeah, just from so many things, so many websites. I didn't have it all organized, you know. Mm-hmm. And so you put in the time and brought it all together, and this is makes me feel more relaxed.
Well, originally it was I started this for my own purposes, honestly, the same thing you were doing. It's hard to keep track of it all. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing out. So I was going out to EOS drops and airdrops for EOS and Telegram channels and Telegram bots and all these places trying to figure out, was I missing anything and what was going on? And I started finding myself doing things over again and researching things again. I thought, well, this isn't making sense. Let me just go ahead and track. And I put this out there so people, you're right, people can track it. People can go ahead and mark off the ones they've received or mark off the ones they've registered or put notes in the side. I like the spreadsheets because you can take control of it and you can make your own notes versus a website you just have to go back to all the time and say, okay, did I read this before? Well, here you can take this. It's a Google Doc. You can do it online. You can save it under your own Google account and put your own notes in there. But I do update it on a regular basis when I find out new information. And if anybody sees something that's wrong or out of date or that I've missed, I've got my contact information at the bottom of the document. And feel free to contact me. I like to know when I've got something incorrect, and I'll update as soon as I have a chance.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. This is very helpful, and I really encourage everybody to check this out. We'll definitely link to it over at exploringeos.com and to your Medium article. I don't want to go too far into the article because I want people to go over and read it, but could you just give us a quick overview of your method for evaluating these?
Sure. You know, this is what is key. And let's tell you what, let's take a step back, John Paul. Let's talk about what airdrops are even, and then why they work. You know, airdrops are really a mechanism that may not replace the ICO, but will certainly be utilized by projects to raise funds in the future. And so what an airdrop is, a project takes a significant portion of their tokens and gives them freely to the community and via what we've termed today an airdrop. It's just a distribution model simply for a ownership of that project. And so these can take many shapes and forms, and we're seeing it today in these different economic models. So these projects will give a significant, or in some cases not significant, share of their tokens out to the community. And what that does is it creates an instant involvement, an instant buzz. People are talking about the project. When our decentralized exchanges are up and running on the EOS IO, we'll be able to buy and sell and trade these tokens as well, which will create a market value for them. Mm-hmm. And based on our interpretation of what that project's worth is, we'll determine what we are willing to sell that project's tokens for. So if we value the project, that token will have a higher value. That project will have a higher market cap. And so the tokens retained by the project, they can slowly, and I emphasize the word slowly, trickle their tokens into the market to raise funds to continue development of their project and or pay salaries for those that are working on that project. They obviously don't want to dump those tokens into the market. It will depress the value and drive that value down. And if they did that and it's blockchain, people can see that, they wouldn't hold much value in their tokens if they were dumping them. And then there'd be a run and there would be no value associated with it. So instead of an ICO up front, getting money for their tokens, and then selling 100% or some larger portion of their tokens, it's simply a mechanism to give away this. So the only way it works is if you get the community involved, if you get the community excited, and projects that don't have a very good presence and don't have a very good use case or a good project case won't have any large value associated with it. We can point back to EOSDAC, honestly, as the most successful one to date on EOS. So they came out, they distributed, they were going to distribute 900 million tokens. They were going to exclude the block 100 million tokens. They were going to retain 200 million tokens for a total of 1.2 billion tokens in circulation. What happened, though, is they decided not to give the exchanges that were not going to support the airdrop to the people that owned the EOS on their exchange, and they burned those tokens. They burned about 250 million tokens. So they had about 950 million tokens in circulation, and their prices ranged anywhere from a dime to a quarter, basically. So making their project worth anywhere from 90 million dollars to 250 million dollars when you look at it from a market cap standpoint, which is huge, honestly, for a block producer. This is at the time they were a block producer candidate. There was no income associated with it. There was no real existing project associated with it, but people saw the value, and obviously it worked. Today they are a block producer and doing very well.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to that one aspect of airdrops that, in some sense, it's also a marketing tool, right? It's building a community, because then those people who got that airdrop are more likely to vote for them in this particular case with the block producer, right? It gets their name out in front of more people, right?
Right, it did, and both sides were talking about EOSDAC and the whether or not that was vote buying, there's the old adage that there's no news is bad news. You know, every little bit of press you get is good press, and the Reddit and the Telegram channels were all about EOSDAC after that, at least for that April 15th snapshot, I believe, and then subsequently after the airdrop. So it worked out very well. Now, there are some cases in the world where people or where projects won't want to airdrop, and we need to be cognizant of that as we get in this mindset that airdrop is the only way to go. Well, it's not, folks. The ICO is still alive and well. There are times where an airdrop isn't appropriate. If a project has real world value associated with its tokens, if I can take those tokens and I can go out and buy some product, I can buy widgets from a website, then you can't give away all that value to the world because, well, they can trade that token in. It has a real world value.
Yeah, and that would just crash the company that's selling those widgets, and potentially they're the ones issuing the token, right?
Exactly right. They had to buy or acquire those products or services in some cases. They're going to provide services, and it doesn't work in an airdrop format unless they airdrop some very small portion of that. And we've had an example of that recently where it wasn't necessarily a product, but it was a project, Ono, that airdropped a very small fraction of their tokens to the community. They airdropped 1 billion out of 75 billion, and people got a little up in arms about it. Why are they giving us such a small fraction? They're on the EOS blockchain for the holders. Well, the reason they did that is because they got third-party VC funding. They received $16 million from a third-party VC, and that person put significant money at stake and wanted to retain some portion of that ownership, so they couldn't give out. It didn't make sense to give out the entirety or 75 or 80% of those tokens out to the EOS owners. So it's another case when it might not work.
Yeah, I think I've noticed quite a few people getting up in arms about things like that, or about projects deciding not to airdrop or kind of changing how they're doing the airdrop. I think my approach is kind of just to be grateful that they're airdropping at all, right? Because I bought EOS and I'm lucky that people are actually airdropping on it. I'm not actually doing anything. So I'm just kind of happy about it.
That's right. It's their blood and sweat and tears that are going into this project. And at the end of the day, it's ultimately their choice. So, you know, in some cases, projects need the upfront funding. They can't wait for us to create the value and to slowly trickle their coins into the market over courses of months or years to obtain that funding. Sometimes they need the project value in the first 3 or 6 months. And so in cases like that, an ICO makes more sense. Another case where an airdrop may not work is if there's a target audience. Say my project really only applies to a certain country or a certain continent. Well, there's no reason really for me to airdrop to all EOS holders if I have a geographically small subset or some other dynamic that makes the users of my project pretty small. I don't necessarily want to share an airdrop across the entirety of the EOSphere.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think EOS DAC is a great example of that again, because their target audience is EOS token holders, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an example of when you'd really want to do it to everybody like that.
That's right. And so I think we're going to see, John Paul, I think we're going to see some changes here probably in the coming months or years where projects choose a different metric for the airdrop. You know, if the community creates value for a project, is there a point where projects don't receive that value by giving the majority of their tokens or a large portion of their tokens to whales? If somebody has 500,000 tokens or 5 million tokens or have, you know, whatever that case may be, millions, tens of millions of tokens, if I give that person a large fraction of my project's worth, do I trust them to be involved and have my project's best interest, or do I have to be concerned that they may dump tens of millions of tokens on the market or totally ignore my tokens when I really want them in the hands of those that will utilize them? Mm-hmm. So there may be limits in the future.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, got to look at it from the DApp developer's perspective. So
and yeah, as a DApp developer, I know that let's say I'm Ono or some other project, and I'm directly competing with another project. Do I want to give them a large stake in my project through an airdrop? Well, probably not. If it has voting rights or other rights associated with it, do I want to give them some power over my project in that aspect? Probably not. We may see DApp developers not dropping to other DApp developers. That may not be an issue in the future, though. We'll see. We'll see how many EOS tokens DApp developers really do have to acquire for bandwidth and necessary resources in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, I've seen a lot of airdrops that require registration. Do you see that as kind of one of these ways in which it's honing in on the target market?
Not really. I don't think I'm really a big fan of registration. And what it does is it kind of zeroes. A lot of the community find registration really onerous. They don't want to go out and have to track your project down and realize that your project needed to be registered for. A perfect example of that recently was the Eon debacle, if you will, where they were a Chinese BP, I believe, or BP candidate with a project, and you required registration, but the translation to English that we saw out there wasn't very clear that we had to register for that. And a lot of English-speaking token holders didn't register for that. And were up in arms because they missed out on an opportunity. They missed the deadline to get those tokens. So I don't really see. Well, it may be a marketing ploy. We'll find out. They may crawfish here and turn around and provide those tokens anyway. Subsequently, after their current airdrop, maybe it may be great marketing. We'll find out what happens. But I don't see it as a good thing on the whole to make people come in and register for something like that.
Well, when I first heard about airdrops, I think on Ethereum, and I saw a lot of those projects wanting registration, I really was like, well, they're just giving away tokens to get like email addresses, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really think the tokens would actually be worth anything. And in a lot of cases, they aren't, right? Mm-hmm. but since I've kind of come around to thinking that actually this could be a viable model.
I tell you what, there are lots of cases out there today where I do have a little regret. A friend and I kid each other a lot about ontology. There was, if you have, you don't know about ontology, go out and check it out. It's ONT, it's on Neo. And back in January, you could have signed up for their newsletter. All you had to do is sign up for their newsletter and they dropped you 1,000 ONT. And then if you move those 1,000 ONT to Binance and just held them on Binance, you could get another 1,000 ONT. So 2,000 ONT. And right now they're trading at $5.50 or $6. And they were up to over 10 just a couple of months ago. So $20,000 worth of tokens. And really all you had to do is register and move to an exchange. So you never really can tell where that home run will be. But, you're right. Maybe we should go out and be a little more open to registration.
And that's one of the things, the work you're doing, putting together this spreadsheet is a big help for those of us who are getting confused or a little overwhelmed by, having to track them all down. So again, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So if you go out there, you're right. There are ones, and I do click on there if they require registration or if they have other constraints, like they won't drop if you have less than 100 EOS, or there are special ones that let's see here, Meet.1, which is actually an ERC-20 token. You got a 1-for-2 airdrop, hopefully already if you met the qualifications. But then after the app or DApp comes out, if you actually use it, you can get another 1-for-2 airdrops. So there's lots of little nuances out there, and I may not have caught them all. If people go out there and check this out and see ones that I missed, please tell me. Now, I will mention there's one out there that I've put out on this, but I've been seeing a little concern about it. It's not confirmed, but it's EOS VR. It goes by the token EVR. Mm-hmm. It's one that you can register for, but you register by sending 1,000th of an EOS to a certain address. And what's strange about this one is they're kind of doing an ICO as well. They're asking for EOS and they'll give you 1,001 EOS VR or EVR for EOS. And there's not a lot of good information about them. So I recommend you probably don't go out and do that one right now until we find out more about them. So yeah, just be cognizant that this is information for your use, but take it with a grain of salt and protect yourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely, I was mentioning you have the website here on all of these. So don't, mm-hmm. for those listening, don't just, go sign up for everything or like blindly go into this. Check out the website, follow all the good cryptocurrency security best practices. Like, don't give out your private key to anybody. For some of these, if they're asking for your email address, you may even want to make a throwaway email address that's like...
I have one too. I have one that's called freeairdrops@gmail.com or something like
that. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yes. I've done the same thing, John Paul. Yes. So don't take this spreadsheet as the River King Fisher seal of approval. They're not. I'm just doing it for collection purposes. And I may put a little asterisk on that one that says beware type of thing.
Indeed. Thank you for that clarification.
So going back, so that's kind of a overview of really, how airdrops work and why they would work and some situations where they won't. But so we'll be getting these airdrops. And so going back to the article, I know it was a long segue, but going back to the article, really I wanted to make something that the average Joe crypto investor could take a real quick high level view of a project and no more than 15 or 20 minutes, hopefully, and figure out, if that project interests them. It's really two metrics. Is this a project that I can use? And am I excited about it? And my go-to point there is this a project you would go out and are you so excited about it, you would tell your friends and family about this one without any referrals? It's just, hey, this is a good project. You need to check it out. If so, then it's something you want to be involved in. Great. If it's not, then, well, this is probably not for you. Now, the other aspect of this grid is your thoughts on how successful your project or how successful you think this project may be. And really quickly, it's most of this information should be on their website. You're looking at the project's website. You're saying, what's the goal? And is there a reason to be on the blockchain? who's the project team and what's their background? Have they been in other crypto projects, or have they been in the worked in the field they're trying to disrupt? Does that's really key. If they don't have any expertise or experience, even if it's experience where they failed, it's still good experience to have. Where did they get, did they get their funding? If they got a funding from a third party EOS related joint venture or venture capital group, wow, that's a great seal of approval right there. And they probably know more than you or I or anybody that's not actively involved in the space on a regular basis. And I consider that probably a pretty viable project. And then, do they have a white paper? If they don't have a sensible, readable white paper that you can at least kind of follow at a non-technical level, then probably not a good project. And then finally, let's assume the project does succeed. What does that mean for the token holders? It doesn't necessarily mean the token value will go through the roof. It may mean that the token value is through use, and you get some enjoyment being a editor on Everpedia or doing good deeds through karma. It may be social acceptance. It may be other metrics that don't necessarily mean dollars in your wallet. So keep that in mind when you're looking at some of these projects. Not all of them necessarily equate to monetary gains.
Yeah, and there may even be some projects that they don't use the token at all.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. It may just be an airdrop to, hey, we have tokens. We want you to know about this. But at the end of the day, you may not use the tokens, or the project may not have a use case for the tokens. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the market driver there, right?
Right. Yeah. So that economic side of it is a good thing to look at too, because that's obviously a big part of it.
It is. So what you do with that information, John Vaughn, I won't, like you said, I want people to go out and read the article, so I won't get this information. But if you will, you imagine an XY axis with the chance of success and your excitement or involvement on different axes. And based on the two, where those two intersect, you're either going to have a project you think is going to succeed and you're going to be involved in, and you're going to be on their Telegram channel, and you're going to be checking out their Twitter feed and really being involved and retweeting and accessing their dApp. That's what I call the lunar launch, and those are the ones that you're going to really hold those tokens. And I'm not going to make any recommendations, but what I would do is I'd probably keep all those. Maybe that case, if you're that excited about it, maybe you actually sell some of your other projects and you buy more of that one. That's in your consideration, that's the best of the best. And then it's a graduated scale, both down the X axis and across the Y axis, or down the Y axis and across the X axis, down to a project that really you don't think will succeed and you'll never use their project. And it's really one that you'll probably end up divesting of most of their tokens over time because you just can't get excited by it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I like about this this owner excitement and chance of success on this axis is that the owner excitement piece really is something a lot of people don't take into account when they're evaluating these sorts of things. It's kind of more of a, oh, is this going to go up? Or is this going to be successful? And that's it. But, like you said very early on here, the community is really what gives the value to these tokens, especially in the airdrop model. So this kind of reinforces that and gets people to like actually take part in the community and not just sit back and hope.
That's exactly right. And I think that goes back to the EOS stack. People got excited by it. People got excited about an airdrop. It was really one of the first ones on related to EOS, and they got involved. And the Twitter was active, and the subreddits were active, and it was exciting, and it was good. And people knew what the benefits were. Hey, I get to be a part of a BP and get to vote and active, and we can decide what projects that BP does with their block rewards. And I think a lot of people hope that once EOS goes to 100, maybe there's some dividends that are paid out at some point. I don't know, but that people got excited, and hopefully we get excited about a lot of these other projects too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before I let you go, can you tell us about any airdrops that you've been looking into that are coming up?
Sure. I'm going to try. I've been a little busy lately, but I'm going to try to do like a biweekly update to this article where I go through and take a one or two projects and actually go through my thought process. Again, I want everybody to do this from their personal regards, but I'm going to give some examples about what I think and go ahead and document my thoughts on them. And every few weeks, I'll put a new one out there. Probably start at the ones that I'm more excited about and want to do research on, and then slowly work my way down the list as I see it. But I've done Higher Vibes. I looked into Higher Vibes here. I really like what they're doing. Higher Vibes is a way for the disruption of the talent acquisition or talent pool, where you have corporations that are looking for job seekers, looking for jobs, and instead of these third parties getting these high referral fees, Higher Vibes hopes to come in there and give those referral fees back to the job seeker and potentially the person that that referred them to that job. And I'm already doing that today. I like to help people out. I look for, you know, I'm on LinkedIn and I get certain notifications when jobs are posted, and a lot of times I will recommend those people go out or recommend people for those jobs. And if it's something I'm already doing today, I'll probably continue to do it in the future. And if I can get paid for it, great, I'll continue to do that. So it's on my my high list. It's on my lunar launch category on that grid, if you will. And I've gone through Higher Vibes Horace Pay recently. I did a kind of deep dive into them. Well, deep dive. I did the high level review of Horace Pay. I spent probably a little bit longer than I anticipated trying to get through their white paper, even though it's only about 6 pages. I had to go through it a couple of times to figure out the use case of the tokens. And Horace Pay probably doesn't excite me as much, honestly.
They're like a payroll, is that?
They are. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, well, will I have a real use for their tokens? And the honest answer is no. Probably not. I don't deal with payroll. They sound like a good project, though. They sound like they're disrupting the payroll software network, and they can get out there and offer some pretty unique characteristics through the tokenization of the project. But, you know, since I'm not going to be actively involved, but I think they have a pretty good chance of success. They have a really good team. I looked into Jareeb's background. The cool thing about them is they have all their information for their whole project team on their website. They have their LinkedIn contact information. I didn't realize this, but Blue Jays from EOS Go is a part of the project team.
Oh.
They have some pretty high-level supporters as well. I think NS James and a few other people that are in the payroll software industry are really active in this project. So I think they have a high chance of success, but from my standpoint, a very low interest. So I put them in my wait and watch category. Probably, you know, honestly, I'll probably sell a few of the tokens when they come out, maybe, or watch them over time, but I will hold the vast majority. One of the things that excites me about them, as I mentioned, the passive income aspect, they do have a little bit of that in there through what they call a Horace Dollars, which is it's an inflationary metric. And so I'm looking for, we mentioned passive income, and I think that might fit the bill potentially. So I'll wait and see how that works out and give them a chance to do some good.
Very nice. Well, I look forward to, are you planning to write up these two?
Hopefully by the end of next week, if the July 4th holiday here in the U.S. doesn't interfere, which it may, but sometime in the first half of July, I want to get those articles out for everybody to read. And then hopefully, like I said, every few weeks, I'll do a couple of projects and get them out there as a Medium posting as well.
Cool. Well, I look forward to reading those. I looked at Horace Pay a couple times, and I probably need to either read your analysis or read through it a few more times myself. But I kind of looked at it and was like, I wasn't really getting it. So I probably need it explained to me.
That is part of the problem with some of these more abstract project tokenizations. Like I said, I had to read through it a couple of times myself, and I, you know, I'm in corporate America here. You think I could have a better understanding of what payroll goes on, but apparently it is in depth. Even though the white paper is at a high level, sometimes you do have to give it a couple of shots, and that one did take a little bit longer analysis than I would have liked to have given. But yeah, I'll have that written up soon, I hope.
Great. Well, I look forward to reading it, and I'd be happy to link to those when they're out from Exploring EOS. So anybody who wants to track those down, they'll be right there, ready to go, handy for you. And we will definitely also link to all your social stuff. If anybody wants to find you and follow you, what's the best place for them to go?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter, @MoreChaney. You can find me on Reddit or Telegram, River King Fisher. Like I said earlier, I prefer Reddit. We can have a better discussion on there than we can have Twitter or otherwise. And then, of course, you can also talk to me via my via Medium if you want to go out there and put a response to any of my articles. Feel free.
Very good. Well, thanks again for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I'm sure my audience appreciates you coming here and exploring EOS with us today.
Thank you, John Paul. I listen to the podcast every week. I always find something interesting. I just finished listening to the one on your monetary national monetary system. Thought it was pretty intriguing, and maybe we'll talk some offline. But it has a interesting case analysis, and it's I appreciate all that you do and getting sharing the EOS message out there with the rest of the world.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, that's it with Chaney Moore. And after this interview, Chaney and I were chatting, and he's actually going to come back here in another week or so and fill us in on his research. He's doing really in-depth research on a few of the airdrops that are coming up. And so we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty and learn more about that. So look forward to that. Be sure you take a moment to subscribe and rate and review this podcast to get the word out there about EOS and this podcast. If you do that, it will help us grow and reach more people with the power of EOS. So thank you today for exploring EOS with me. The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.